Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday, February 23rd, 2017. I am PWTorch.com's Mike McMahon, joined alongside, as always, by PWTorch.com's Andrew Socek. This is the PW Torch Livecast Impact post-game show. Andrew, how are you doing this evening?
Mike, I'm doing good. What a beautiful way to end Impact. How are you doing?
I'm not bad, yeah. Let's start there. As we run down the show this week, we got a lot of callers already lined up on the phone lines. If you want to talk about tonight's episode of Impact, you can do so by giving us a call at 515-605-9345. Just remember to hit that number one when you call in, and that'll put you in the caller queue. But let's start with what I guess was the main event of this show, and that was the Laurel Van Ness Braxton Sutter wedding, which we've sort of glossed over the last couple of weeks because neither one of us have been a big fan. But tonight was the big payoff, blow off, whatever you want to call it, to this angle they've been doing for the last few weeks. I feel like maybe even longer than that. But Laurel Van Ness and Braxton Sutter did not get married because Braxton Sutter did not say "I do" and instead finally proclaimed his love for Allie and the showing off the air with him kissing her in the middle of the ring. There was a couple of things that I just really, I didn't like the angle at all, like we've been talking about, but there were some things just in the presentation of this that I thought was absolutely horrendous. What was sort of your general overall take on what we saw in the final segment of Impact tonight?
Yeah, very, very interesting thing. I'm curious what other people are going to have to say about this too. I dislike the angle completely, but in a way, I kind of had fun with the main event. I think it was just because the crowd was so into it, and they're usually so dead. Just their enthusiasm kind of won me over in that segment. And I also like,
yeah.
There's so often in wrestling we'd never get a feel good moment, and this isn't a great relationship in any means, but just now and then you got to give some sort of happy ending. So I was happy to see that Braxton didn't turn heel on her or anything. So I was surprisingly fine with tonight.
You know, I was fine with the overall outcome. You know, like I agree, you need a happy ending every once in a while, and I thought that played out really well. It was sort of how we expected it, but it played out really well, I thought. And you're right. You know what? For whatever reason, as much as I maybe didn't like it, the crowd was electric for this segment. I mean, it was the loudest they were all night. It was the loudest they've been in a while. I mean, the live crowd just absolutely ate this up. You know, ultimately, that's probably a pretty good barometer of what's working and what's not. And you're absolutely right. I mean, they were going bananas for this segment, really, from the second it began.
Yeah, I was taken off. Like, when it started, I'm like, oh my god, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Here's Aaron Rex.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was
eventually
wrong too.
Oh yeah, exactly.
They started at like 9:35.
Yeah, it's probably one of the longest segments Impact has done in a long time. But yeah, like you were saying, they're just electric. I can't believe this angle was the most excited they've been. Probably all year over something.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, the biggest thing, I guess the biggest pet peeve, the biggest thing that I didn't like about the presentation of it was they had been building, you know, for the last, like I said, however this has been going on, maybe like a month, they have been building, okay, Braxton Sutter is being forced to do this because of something. And we're led to believe, okay, Maria has something on Braxton Sutter, something big. Because why else would this guy marry someone who he clearly hates and do whatever, you know, whatever Maria says? clearly there's something big here that she's going to reveal at some point, or we're going to learn at some point. And we get to that reveal after he won't follow through with the marriage. And the big reveal is Maria told him he needed to marry Laurel or she would fire Allie and he would never see Allie again, which makes absolutely no sense because who cares whether or not, I mean, if we're looking at this through a realistic lens here, what the hell does it matter if she's working for Maria or even employed by TNA with whether or not Braxton Sutter's going to see her again? I mean, we got to that part of it, and I sat there, I went, oh, really? Like, I'm sitting here, the entire segment, especially where they started it so early, I said, okay, there's going to be a big reveal here at some point of what Maria's holding over Sutter's head, because for him to go through with all the things he's gone through with, clearly it's something big. And the big reveal was, she told me she'd fire Allie and I never see her again. It just made no sense to me. I mean, that's the best you could come up with. Like, it just, I that part just completely turned me off. I said, you know, that just didn't make any sense.
You make an excellent point. I think I got caught up a little bit in the love and I overlooked it, but thinking about that, yes, that is ridiculous. I was thinking as well during the show, I'm like, it's gotta be big. And I'm thinking anything less than like Allie's life is in danger, then this is completely stupid.
So. Yeah. I mean, it just did. That's what really disappointed me about the main event segment was, bigger than the wedding was going to be the reveal of what, you know, what sort of plot twist was going to happen here with what was being held over Braxton Sutter's head. We just never got it because the reasoning was there really was no reason. I mean, that's the thing that sort of threw it for me was we got to the end of it. And essentially the whole reason for this whole thing happening for the last month was that it never really needed to happen to begin with because it was a dumb reason for Braxton Sutter to be doing all this to begin with.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. I'm like, you know, weddings in wrestling are kind of fun. They're still bad, but they're memorable in a way. And this was like one of the most forced ones I think I've ever seen. So, yeah, there's no good way to go about this. So I guess they got out of it about the best they could. But, yes, they could have definitely used a better explanation as to why this took place in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. Let's hit on one more. Before we run through the rest of the show, there was one more sort of arcing storyline that sort of played itself out throughout the entire show, and it began last week, too, and that's this constant tease that Pope knows something about the future of Impact that Josh Matthews doesn't know, and we're led to believe it has something to do with the future of Josh Matthews as the voice of Impact. I know we talked about it last week, and you sent me an email pointing out Josh Matthews' Twitter feed over the last week where he has been really, really, really going heel strong with fans on social media. And they again sort of played up this. There's something big changing. Pope knows something. They seem to be hitting the button hard enough now that there's going to be a reveal here at some point. Although, given the reveal after this wedding angle, I'm not sure I'm confident in it being a very productive or positive reveal, but clearly it seems like they're doing something here with Matthews and Pope that they're teasing some sort of change.
Yeah, definitely. I think last week they said, you know, you're up Schitt's Creek, and that was kind of the start of it. And tonight they really hammered that something is going to happen. I'm afraid of no matter what it is, I want to see Josh replaced, but I don't want to see him. I'm kind of having flashbacks to Jim Ross coming in with Steve Williams to try and get his job back from Michael Cole. I don't think I really want to see Josh in any sort of other role. So this has got me nervous, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they're heading with it. I know we had a question last week. I forget which caller asked the question. It may have been, I think, Vinny in New Jersey, maybe. But somebody asked a question about, you know, where do we think this is headed and who would we like to see as the voice of Impact if there was a replacement? And I know the first name out of both of our mouths was Jim Ross. And I wonder, you know, whether this is Jim Ross, whether it's Mike Tenay, whether it's somebody, you know, Kevin Kelly just left Ring of Honor. Maybe it's Kevin Kelly. But it seems like they're prepping here for someone else to come in and then Josh Matthews to maybe play, I don't want to say a heel color commentator, but some sort of heel commentator. But, you know, Pope at the same time doesn't seem to be worried about his future. So you're sort of led to believe that he might still be involved as well. So I wonder if they do something where they bring somebody else in, they make it a three-man booth, and the little announcer angle is that Josh Matthews is mad that they brought in another announcer because it should be his show type of thing. But that, you know, I think has a pretty short shelf life if they were to do something like that and go in that direction.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff Jarrett has been making the rounds, and part of it, his slogan has been "Make Impact Great Again." And he's been bringing back Dutch Mantel, Scott D. Moore, and he brought back another producer just behind the scenes. So I'm really wondering now if it is Mike Tenay, maybe even Don West are the next step in this.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not a big fan of Josh's commentary. I think it sounds too WWE-ish, but not in a good way. You know, it's sort of like a WWE-lite presentation. I'd be, as much as I'd like to see Jim Ross, because I think he's the best in the world at calling matches right now, and I'd even say that, you know, Kevin Kelly might be my number two, because I really enjoyed his commentary and his play-by-play when he was with Ring of Honor. You know, Mike Tenay, I'd have no problem with it bringing Mike Tenay back. I think Mike Tenay is still a big improvement over Josh Matthews. Really, all three of those guys are.
Yeah, and, you know, there's got to be some Impact fans out there who missed the kind of Jeff Jarrett era. There was a lot more people watching then, so maybe seeing Tenay might get them interested again, just to give it another chance.
All right, well, let's sort of run down the rest of the show here quickly, and then we're going to take a quick break and take some calls at 515-605-9345. The show started with a promo segment where Cody, not Cody Rhodes, just Cody, Cody turned on Moose, sort of playing up a jealousy thing here where, you know, they were fine. He thanked Moose for defending Brandi Rhodes last week at a segment with Decay, and then it got brought up that Brandi had Moose's phone number, which was said last week, and Cody tweeted about the show last week, so you would imagine that he saw that and knew it already. But once Cody found out that Brandi had Moose's phone number, things sort of fell off the rails, and Cody ended up attacking Moose. Certainly looks like they're going to set up something here down the road with Moose and Cody. I would imagine a match happens fairly quickly because Impact has been turning around their matches pretty quickly once they set it up on the show. What were your thoughts on that opening segment? And I think, you know, sort of as we expected, Cody ends up turning heel on Moose tonight.
I thought it was a good way to open the show. Having Cody coming back, I think made it feel a lot fresher than it has lately. He feels like one of the bigger stars on the show when he's on. I know he's a heel everywhere else. I do kind of wish he could be a face in TNA, because I think they are pretty badly lacking like a good, fresh top star. But the way they went with it, I thought the segment played out pretty well. And, it kind of makes sense then, in retrospect, booking Brandi in that match last week.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I thought it was. I also liked how, I'm a stickler for continuity, and I like the fact that okay, Moose and Brandi, that match with Rosemary and Crazy Steve opened the show last week, and then tonight, you know, the Brandi Rhodes Moose Cody Rhodes segment opened the show again. So I was a fan of that sort of continuity of them both being in the opening segment as well. Then we moved on to Tyrus against Eli Drake. They, I guess, kind of broke up last week or the week before. And then in this match, they went back and forth a couple of times. They were, even after the bell rang, were going back and forth on the mic. The match ended with Eli Drake attacking the referee, causing a disqualification. And then Tyrus jumped on top of Drake and grabbed him in a chokehold. And Drake finally said, fine, I'll get you your raise. I'll get you your raise. And that backed Tyrus off of Drake. Drake asked Tyrus to shake on it. Tyrus said he wouldn't shake on it, but he would hug on it. And Eli Drake and Tyrus seemed to make up with a couple of big hugs there as Tyrus was promised a raise from Eli Drake. I know, you know, I sort of feel like we're back at the starting line with this. At the end of the day, you know, it didn't feel like it accomplished much. But I know originally I wasn't a big fan of them splitting these two guys apart so early. So you know, I'm okay with the end result of them sticking together here, at least it looks that way. But I wasn't a big fan of sort of the one-week breakup just for them to get back together on this show here. That sort of seems like a waste of time to me.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth to saying I like the end result. This felt very Vince Russo-esque to me, just like a swerve and a turn, very short-sighted, just an unnecessary detour to it all. But I think it's good to get them back together. And I just wanted to, maybe this is a nitpick, but I had to write down this line. When Earl Hebner was punched in the face, all Josh Matthews said was, well, the man is a senior citizen. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, there was no outrage on this man getting punched in the face. Like, that has nothing to do with anything, that he's a Hall of Famer and a senior citizen. Like, it just blew my mind in a minor way. He couldn't even fake outrage over that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt here because he didn't do it at all throughout the rest of the show. I was going to say, unless that's a subtle hint that he is doing some type of heel turn, because that is what a heel announcer would say. You know, they really wouldn't have a bigger care or reaction to it, but they didn't do that really with anything else throughout the show. So, in my opinion, that's more of a reason why I'm not a big fan of Josh Matthews' commentary. after that, we moved on to another promo segment where Jade challenged Rosemary in a last knockout standing match for the TNA Knockouts title. They finally got back to this feud. I know we were just saying last week, it seemed like, you know, Jade and Rosemary had a really good match in that Monsters Ball match, and then it just went away. Well, it came back on this show tonight, and it seems like they're going to go at it at least one more time, I would assume, next week.
I think that this segment didn't blow me away or anything. I think Jade was, she seemed more confident, more natural than we've seen her in the past on the microphone. I think Rosemary is very good at playing her character, and I think this is probably the right thing to do with the Knockouts right now, because that's probably about the best match they can offer over the probably the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, I had no problem with it either. Like I said, I think it's the best way to go. It's really what fits that division right now. We are a little late for a timeout, so we're going to take a very quick commercial break. We're going to be back. We'll wrap up the rest of the show, and then the rest of Impact, not the rest of our show. We'll wrap up the rest of Impact and then get to phone calls, because we got a number lined up here already, and you can get on the phone lines as well, 515-605-9345. But before we go to the break, it's our first trivia question of the week from Andrew. And this question, I like the theme this week. You'll notice both of them have a theme. The first question of the night is, what was the name of Tara's tarantula when she was in TNA? Tara, of course, the former Victoria as well in WWE. But what was the name of Tara's tarantula? We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be back to wrap up the rest of our thoughts on Impact this week and then get to your phone calls on the PW Torch livecast.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Do you love wrestling? Check out one of the hottest shows, Ring Rust Radio, breaking down WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, NXT, Lucha Underground, TNA, New Japan, and Indie Wrestling. The boys of Ring Rust Radio also interview some of the biggest names in wrestling, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, AJ Styles, John Cena, Roman Reigns, and many more. If you love the PW Torch livecast and you'd like to have fun, check out Ring Rust Radio. Find us on ringrustradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email the show, ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
Andrew, what was the name of Tara's tarantula?
The name was Poison. Poison's most infamous moment was probably being a prize in the Lockbox Challenge. He had a 1-in-4 chance of winning this thing. Other prizes were a shot at the Knockouts title, and I believe the loser had to strip. So one of the worst moments ever in history of TNA.
An appropriate name for a tarantula, though.
Yes, absolutely.
A little off topic, but I was just listening to this. I think it was last weekend. There's a great clip on YouTube of an interview Jim Cornette was doing. He was talking about the first time he met Dixie Carter when he was working with TNA. And there was somebody backstage who was looking for a job, and he wanted his gimmick to be an exterminator. And he had wrestled, I think, in the territories. He was an older guy, a veteran, and Cornette knew him. So he had saw him in the back and went up to go say hello because he hadn't seen him in a while. And as he stuck out his hand for a handshake, the guy had a tarantula in his hand. And I can't do a Jim Cornette impression, but Cornette blew a gasket when he saw the tarantula and swore at the guy and told him to stay away from him and read him the riot act, and then went in the back and saw Terry Taylor and started screaming at Terry Taylor that's a maniac as a tarantula and what the hell's going on, and then turned around and Terry went, "Hey Jim, I want you to meet Dixie Carter." So his first interaction with Dixie Carter was him swearing up and down about somebody bringing a tarantula backstage. So check it out. It's on YouTube. Again, I don't know. You probably just search Jim Cornette talks about meeting Dixie Carter or something, but it was a funny story. To this week's episode of Impact, right, we left off with the Jade segment. After that, they came back with Jesse Godders beating Bram. I guess they're sort of continuing this thing where Jesse Godders is getting, one up on the DCC. Really early on in this storyline, obviously, I guess we're going to have to see where this goes, but it still seems like they're setting something up here, more than paying anything off yet.
Yeah, I will say I dislike this. I like the initial promise of the DCC. I've always been a big Bram guy. I think he could be one of their top two or three heels. And I don't think Godders has been repackaged enough or gone away long enough to just be taken seriously as like a babyface wrestler. He still doesn't come across as just likable to me. And they're trying hard to say like, oh, he's friends with William Shatner. Isn't that the greatest? But it's just not quite clicking for me.
Yeah, it's not really clicking for me yet either. I guess we'll have to see where they go with it. After that, it was more of the Expedition for Gold with the Hardys. They had a couple segments earlier in the show as well where Matt somehow inhaled or had Jeff inhale his powers to keep them while he went to Egypt, and the dilapidated boat is now a golden ark, and it's where they're going to keep all their tag titles. That catches you up on the story. But Matt and Jeff go to Mid-Atlantic and beat Mathis in Rage to win the Mid-Atlantic tag titles. Sort of the same presentation as we saw with the match in Mexico last week. We didn't get the whole match, although there was more highlights here than there was in the Mexico match last week. But it was still sort of a run of maybe 3 or 4 minutes of highlights with music in the background. So very similar presentation, and the Cardies seem to keep moving on here with their Expedition for Gold. Although they didn't, I don't believe, unless I missed it, I don't believe they teased anything for their next stop on the Expedition for Gold.
No, I didn't think they did it. And this has been another downer for me as well. It just seems so weird to do like a 4 minute or a 3 minute match, or just these quick highlights. I just think they should either do 30 seconds worth, or more preferable, just show the entire thing and then just do some of their nonsense and say somehow Josh and the Pope are able to watch this live and get the feed. I just think that would be more effective because it's just so disjointed and the camera angles are all weird, and I'm just not into that at all. I like their star power. I'm always interested in what they're doing, but I'm just not that entertained by it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather they skip the Godders brand match altogether and just show this match in its entirety. I guess it could probably be a little weird where you've got a match that isn't typically televised. In this case, with guys like Mathis and Rage, who maybe aren't used to typical television time constraints, it may be difficult to air the entire match as if it were live, but I think you could do enough with editing to air what we would believe is a full match, you know, without having to show just clips to basically a music video. You know, like you were saying, I think there's a better way to present this. And these first 2 weeks, I haven't been a fan of. I'd rather see either a full match, or I'd rather see, you know, the full, you know, maybe 30 seconds of the finish or something to that effect, rather than these sort of disjointed highlights with different camera angles. It feels like it's hard to follow, and I'm just, like you said, I think I'm losing interest in it because of the presentation. Then from there, they went to Josh Barnett's debut against Bad Bones, who was from Germany. I had a lot of issues with this match. I don't know about you, Andrew. I was not a big fan of this at all. No fault to Josh Barnett. What I didn't like was, I'm not sure they advertised at all that Josh Barnett was going to debut in the ring on this show, and that should be a big deal. You're bringing in a guy you're billing as, you know, this former MMA heavyweight champion, and he is. He's a legitimate fighter. He's challenging for your world title next week. And I could be wrong, I don't remember them advertising Josh Barnett making his in-ring debut on the show. That's number one. Number two, for a guy that's supposed to challenge for the world title next week, he sold a hell of a lot for some guy named Bad Bones that hasn't been on television before here in the United States. So I guess he's had a brief run with TNA, but certainly nothing memorable. I had an issue with them not advertising it. I had an issue with Josh Barnett not walking through and submitting this guy in 45 seconds. I mean, I just thought the whole booking philosophy here was way off, because Barnett looked good at the end of the match, but it didn't, to me, make him look like a legitimate badass that's going to do anything to challenge Bobby Lashley. And he's supposed to be a big deal. You didn't even advertise he was going to debut. You know, just none of it. I didn't like any of this.
Yep, completely agree. As far as I know, too, they didn't advertise that. So either save that first match, build up that intrigue with a bunch of sit-down interviews, let us know who this guy is, or like you said, have him go in there and just tap somebody out right away. Just make like a big statement, and maybe even have like Lashley be impressed by how quickly that match was over. But yeah, the way it played out, the crowd wasn't into it. The announcers didn't treat it like it was a big deal. So if they're going to do that, it's just like, what's the point of it then?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, Lashley seemed impressed with Barnett at the end of the match. You know, I think he said, hey, you know, that looked good, that key lock looked good, or something to that effect. But it just, nobody made this out to be a big deal, and it should be. I mean, here's the one guy, since Anthem has taken over, here's the one guy that you've added to your roster. Here's a guy that his only matches, to my knowledge, certainly his biggest ones, have all taken place in Japan. He's new, he's fresh, he's not a former WWE guy, but he's a name that people know, and you throw him out there unadvertised. He sells for most of the match until making a comeback at the end against a guy who hasn't even been on television before. I mean, the whole thing, to me, was insane. And I hope it doesn't set Barnett up for failure. You know, we'll see how he looks against Lashley in that title match next week, but I didn't like this segment at all. No fault to Josh Barnett, because I thought he looked good. I liked his offense because it looked different. It looked very sport-like. You know, his offense, his punches, his forearms, his kicks, even just the way, you know, he was squaring off with his opponent, it all had a very MMA feel to it, which I liked. I liked that he was willing to be different there, but didn't like the booking to the match at all. I thought it was just really, really poor and not smart. From there, we moved to the X Division title match, where Trevor Lee beat DJZ with a roll-up after Shane Helms or Gregory Helms interfered in the match. And then it looked like Lee was going to take out DJZ's ankle, Brian Pillman style, you know, with the chair wrapped around the ankle. Andrew Everett came out and made the save and hit a pretty impressive shooting star press, really clean, crisp-looking shooting star press on Trevor Lee after the match. Andrew, what were your thoughts on the title match, the finish, and then also Andrew Everett coming out to save the day there at the end?
I like all these guys. The match went nowhere near long enough. I think it went under 5 minutes. That's something that should at least go double that, because as it is, those are the two biggest names in the division. There's nobody else who's going to get you know, treated more special than that. The one thing I did like, I liked Andrew Everett running in. What caught me by surprise was how receptive the crowd was to him coming in and attacking those guys and hitting that Hurricane Rana. So that I found that to be encouraging for his singles turn, that the crowd just like bought into him, even though the Helms dynasty has been pretty much an afterthought the past few months.
Yeah, it has been. You know, we'll see what they do from here, because I thought that this was a good clean break with getting Andrew Everett. I mean, even if the Helms dynasty is just Trevor Lee and Helms, I think that could work. All right, well, that wraps up the show. That was right after that X Division title match. So let's get to the phone calls now at 515-605-9345. Our first caller of the week is Kylan in New Jersey. Kylan, how you doing this week?
I'm very well, Mike. How are you and Andrew this week?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, doing good.
Yeah, we're always good.
That's great. As usual, I have a question on Josh Matthews to kick us off here with. I never thought I would be saying that I have questions on Josh Matthews every week, but it seems like something new happens with him all the time that you just don't think of.
Absolutely.
Did either of you notice that at the beginning of the show, Josh Matthews kept saying something like, there will be changes here in Impact Wrestling when the new owners take over. But yet, if anybody remembers this, last month, the first thing out of Josh Matthews' mouth within the first 30 seconds of the supposed new TNA under Anthem was, we are now positioned by our new ownership group, Anthem Sports and Entertainment.
You're absolutely right. No, he did say that, and he's said that almost every week since. You know, this is something we've talked about over the last month or month and a half. I wonder, you know, if Anthem's fingerprints really weren't on the first set of tapings as much. How much of the writing and booking was done before, you know, before they took over? They had some time to sort of put their fingerprints on the show, but I know, you know, Andrew, you and I have talked about it for the last couple of weeks now. Is it going to look different once they get to Orlando next week with that second set of television tapings? Even Matthews, you know, Josh's comments here that once their new ownership takes over, like Kylan was referring to, I wonder if that points to, you know what, they might, you know, be making things look even more different once we get to the next set of tapings.
I sure hope so. There needs to be some big changes. This whole last set, I think, has been really uneven. That's maybe just being generous. There's been a lot of bad stuff. So, I'm hoping big things go down within these next couple weeks. And cosmetically, just the feel of the show, I think they're really going to need it to get fans to come back.
Anything else for us tonight, Colin?
So apparently, which I'm not sure if you two have heard about, but apparently Josh made the mistake of telling two fellow podcast hosts to shoot themselves.
Cool.
Oh, I did hear that. You know, it was on Twitter. Somebody had made a comment to him about something. I don't know exactly what the comment was. But yeah, Josh Matthews replied something to the effect of, you know, what's your next shoot interview going to be about? And then follow that up with, you know, you should really just shoot yourselves or something to that effect. And again, I'm paraphrasing. But yeah, no, I did hear that. And there was a report out there that Impact Management, you know, I would assume specifically people from Anthem, weren't too pleased with that and that he was, you know, spoken to about it. But yeah, no, I did read that earlier this week.
My second question concerns the whole Knockouts division. Assuming that Rosemary will defeat Jade next week, or who will be next to face her?
Well, it certainly seems like they're going in the direction of Brooke, Andrew. I don't know what you think here, but that seems to be what they seem to be setting up. And I mean, I know she's been sort of embroiled a little bit in a feud with Maria and whatnot, but it certainly seems like, you know, they're building Brooke up for a title shot there at some point.
Yeah, Brooke would be my guess as well. There's the roster is so thin, I can't even imagine who else would challenge, just because Allie is going to probably work Maria in the near future, and Laurel Van Ness and Sienna
yeah.
wouldn't be good fit. So, yeah, there's really no other choices unless they're planning on bringing in some new talent.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think with the angle we saw tonight at the end of the show, they could very easily move Allie into the spot feuding with Maria, which also means she's feuding with Sienna and Laurel Van Ness, and that sort of frees up Brooke to move into a title feud with Rosemary. So Kyle, that's where I think they'll probably go. You know, Andrew and I obviously both agree there that it'll probably be Brooke. That sort of seems like who they're grooming for that next spot.
Yeah, that's what I figured, due to extreme lack of choices. And my final question concerns Impact Brandon, with TNA now apparently forming a relationship with Pro Wrestling NOAH, does this add further credence to the point that I suggested on the first episode of this show, that Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel may want to scrap the TNA name and make it Global Force Wrestling on Pop TV, since Global Force has been unable to get a TV deal on another United States network.
It is a good point. You know, I think dropping the TNA name is what you should do. I don't know if they'll go with Global Force, you know, because Anthem may... It all depends really on probably what Anthem Sports wants to do. But I could certainly see them dropping the TNA name and just going with Impact Wrestling, which seems like that is a direction they're heading in. You see things referred to more in terms of Impact than TNA, even with the world title. I think they've just been referring to it as the world title. So I do think we'll see them drop the TNA name. There's, you know, some stink on that branding a little bit, and it's not a very good name to begin with. So I think you're right that we'll see them drop that TNA name. I think they're already starting to phase it out hard. I don't know if they'll go with Global Force. You know, I think they are going to want to keep some continuity with what they've had for, you know, the more than a decade now. I think my guess is that they'll probably stick with Impact. But Andrew, what are your thoughts on, you know, dropping that TNA name and going with something different?
Yeah, dropping TNA should be the first thing they do. I don't know if they would go Global Force either. I read an interview with Jeff Jarrett saying he's still trying to get that going, which I have no idea how that's going to work out. But he supposedly he's trying to, he's got a big hand in Impact and Global Force, so maybe he's just working us and trying to get that to be the new title. But as it seems now, that he'll keep trying to get that on TV somewhere.
Yeah, I almost wonder now if he's in a position of power with Impact again, does he really even need Global Force? I mean, Global Force seemed to be what he was doing because he was pushed out of an ownership position with TNA and had lost power there, and he still wanted to do something in wrestling and had maybe an idea to do something different a little bit. Impact could now be his playground instead of Global Force. So I almost wonder, does Global Force go on the back burner a little bit if Jeff Jarrett has a lot more power inside of Impact? Well, Colin, hey, man, we appreciate the call, and hopefully we talk to you next week.
You sure will. I'm looking forward to it, guys.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, we will talk to you then. We have more callers lined up. We are going to get to you guys in just a minute. We are late, of course, again for another break. I'm constantly late for commercial breaks, but this one's going to be another quick one, and then we'll get right back to the phone calls at 515-605-9345. A second trivia question, though, of the week. What was the name of Black Reign's pet rat when he was with TNA? Black Reign, if you don't remember who that was, also known as Goldust, a long run, of course, in WWE. But what was the name of Black Reign's pet rat? We'll have the answer to that and more of your phone calls in just a minute.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
Back here in the PW Torch livecast, 515-605-9345. Andrew, what was the name of Black Reigns' pet rat?
The name of that little rascal was Misty. Misty the rat. My most fond memory, which is my only memory, is that there was some sort of rat on a pole match, and I can't remember who he competed against, and I don't think I want to remember.
I can't remember who he competed against either, but if it was on a pole, I can guarantee you Vince Russo booked it.
Yes. Yep.
I don't think there's any question about that. all right, well, let's get back to the phone calls. Like I said, 515-605-9345 is the number to reach us. We're going to go to area code 540. 540, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys, this is Michael from Northwest Virginia.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Good. Wanted to add something to that last conversation you all talked about with the name TNA. I think the only places they have that brand still is on the title belts and then like the TNA shop part of their website. As you all were talking about that, I was kind of thinking, don't know any spoilers about it, but I had seen a rumor maybe floating around that they were going to do a Global Force invasion angle. And as you were discussing that, I thought, well, maybe that's how they officially bring back, get rid of the TNA logo and wording and just keep the name of the show being Impact Wrestling, because it's kind of floated back and forth for the couple years, I guess, where, well, the company's called Impact, but the show's also called Impact. I remember one time Mick Foley came out and you couldn't really understand why the name kept flip-flopping. But maybe they go that route with just kind of bring. They already have a set of belts and whatnot in place, and I'm sure you all probably heard that they signed Magnus, which is the Global Force champion. And then I have two more points.
That'd be an interesting way to do it. Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That'd be an interesting way to do it. They've already, you know, they already did the Global Force invasion angle to a certain extent a couple of years ago when they brought Jeff back for the Hall of Fame thing. But, you know, I know there was some talks there with Magnus. I don't remember a report that they signed him, but maybe they had. And like you said, he is the current Global Force heavyweight champion. So, you know, you wonder, maybe that is a direction they go and they revisit that a little bit. I would prefer to see guys like Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel and guys they've brought in to help out from a booking and a production standpoint to not be on camera. But, you know, if Jeff puts himself back on camera, because he's certainly been the face of that Global Force brand, you know, I wonder maybe if they could do something else or something more with some type of an invasion angle, even though they did it a little bit, like I said, a couple of summers ago, but it was pretty short-lived. Andrew, what are your thoughts on maybe a Global Force invasion angle part two on Impact?
That I would be pretty down on, I think. I don't mind them switching it just over to Global Force Wrestling if they want to start over that way. I think that's okay. But, yeah, the last angle they had was pretty bad. And to me, I guess the question is, like, who is Global Force? Because Curt Hawkins was in there, and he's gone. Trevor Lee was one of their top guys, and he's a Impact. So it would be like Chris Masters was one of them, Sanjay Dutt. They'd really have to beef up the numbers and give us some bigger names in order for it to feel like than just like a mid-card battle.
Yeah, you know, that is a good point, because a lot of the guys that they had really aren't available to them anymore. Some of them have just been sort of integrated right into TNA. I wonder, too, how much of the last one was botched to a certain extent because, you know, Dixie Carter wasn't going to let Global Force Wrestling come on her show and get over on her roster. If Jeff's in charge, and maybe if Jeff's in charge and those guys are all signed to TNA contracts, you can play things out a little differently, because at the end of the day, it's all one company. You're doing an invasion angle. There's two sides to it, but you're still all one company. You know, sort of to a much lesser extent, I'm sure, what WCW did with the NWO 20 years ago. But the only issue I would have with it, I mean, if they were to go with something like that, is, like you were saying, Andrew, what is Global Force Wrestling at this point? They had a TV taping, but it was a while ago. They haven't really done much as far as shows since then. They've been trying to get picked up somewhere, get a television deal, but really, there's no history there. I mean, they're basically brand new. I'm not sure what the value would be in some type of an invasion angle when we really don't know what Global Force is or what it even stands for at the moment. You know, but maybe we could. There could be a story there to tell. It would just depend on how they do it. What else you got this week, Michael?
Well, I took a note before the show even started that I wanted to talk about, and it looks like it's already made more airtime than I think he deserves. But as Bischoff says, controversy creates cash. So Josh Matthews and his what you might call like a work shoot there on Twitter, it's been going on for a while. I don't know how closely you all have followed it, but he talking about, I noticed instantly tonight how hard they started pushing the big changes and Josh apparently not knowing anything, and how aggressive he's been on Twitter, especially the last 2 weeks. I can't remember when exactly it was, but he called out or took a shot at Jim Ross. And I'm kind of wondering now if maybe that wasn't a precursor to a possible replacement, because you got to think that with Anthem wanting to make a big splash, they're going to want to go big. And I don't know that, as much as I would like to see Mike Tenay, that was the first name that came to mind, you might think that they really went all the way because people want to hear Jim's voice again, you know, on a weekly basis, more than we already do with the other shows that he does on Access. But And with Josh Barnett there, that I think isn't that his broadcast partner as well that he works with?
It is, yeah. No, we were talking about that a little bit last week, where Josh Barnett, you know, we were one of the points that we made was Josh Barnett. I think he's 39 years old. You know, he probably doesn't have a long term future on your roster. You know, you could get a couple of years out of him there if you wanted him to work some sort of full time schedule, and you're only a television company right now, but. Was he brought in to maybe, you know, work himself into a commentary role at some point? You just mentioned that he took a shot at Jim Ross on Twitter. Was that recent? Because I remember back when he first took the job with TNA, he had made a comment or a knock on Jim Ross. It was January. I think UFC had a big show and a really great main event the same night of the AFC and NFC championship games. And Jim Ross made some mention on Twitter, like, hey, you know what? I think UFC won the night or something to that effect. And Matthews quoted it and said, anyone who thinks UFC beat the NFL is showing their age, or made some sort of knock about Jim Ross being old and out of touch. And this was right when he took the TNA job. So the thing you're talking about here on Twitter, where he had made a mention of Jim Ross, Was that more recent, or was it something over the last week here?
It wasn't in the past, necessarily the past week, but I don't know if I'm thinking of what you're thinking of or not, but I want to say it was after that. He, because, you know, he's been, like, throwing around the term the GOAT, the greatest of all time, and he even put up, like, the GOAT on his Twitter thing, and I don't know. I'll do some research and email it to you if I can find it. And I don't know. I kind of thought Jim Ross might want to spend the money to, you know, once people hear he's back on the air, it'll draw some eyes into their product. And you know how Jim likes to have those little projects where he can fly out for 3 or 4 days, do the work, and then come back. So it might be a perfect fit for him.
Well, I know that's what Andrew and I were talking about just last week. You know, the fact that their television taping schedule is what it is. You know, he can come out for a couple of days, get a home. You know, even if they were to tape once a month, he can come out for 4 days, get an entire month's worth of shows done, and then be back in Oklahoma and only, you know, miss 3 or 4 days away from home. He's on the road every single week. Andrew, I know you were following the Josh stuff on Twitter last week, because you were actually the one that emailed it to me to point it out. What do you think that this could be leading to? I know we were talking about it might be leading to a change, but do you think that it's smart to do it this way with him sort of turning heel on social media? Or have you been a fan of, I guess, what he's been trying to do, it seems like?
I think it started out, I think he's like half playing a character, but it all kind of started with him saying he's the best play-by-play in the business. However, he's been saying that for years. I remember an old livecast interview with Wade. He said the same thing a couple of years ago. So I think he's just getting caught up in people being all over him on Twitter. And maybe he's being told to play a character. But he's going too far, I think, like where he's going to turn off people. And people aren't going to want to like give this promotion another chance if they hate the play-by-play guy. And especially, I had not heard that before, where he told a couple guys to like go shoot himself. That's just ridiculous. Like, I can't imagine Jim Ross, you know, ever saying something like that. That's it just kind of boggles my mind.
I almost wonder if he didn't get a pink slip already notification at the last time they met, and then he's kind of turning it into working his way off, you know, shooting his own angle. Because even Jeremy Borash responded to him one day, a comment he made. He said, "You, sir, are no GOAT."
That's interesting. I didn't realize that. Yeah. You know, it'll be, because it does sound like they're in the building. They're in Orlando when they're shooting these tapings. But I would guess, based upon the references, that the commentary is being done either live in a studio every Thursday night. And I know, you know, Josh has been in Nashville. I think he lives in Nashville now. It sounds like they're either doing the commentary live every Thursday night as the show airs, you know, live to tape, or they're recording it, you know, maybe earlier in the day today or sometime this week, because there have been, I've noticed over the last few weeks, some topical references. So I don't know if that's the case, that he necessarily would have been, you know, fired already and shooting some type of his own angle. It could be that he knows he's been taken off the air or is going to be taken off the air and is doing some type of angle that way. You know, it could be that maybe he's working into a different role in the company and knows that he's no longer going to be on air doing play-by-play every week. But, you know, my fear with this whole thing is, and I mentioned it earlier, you know, we saw it with the wedding. My fear with this whole thing is that they're building up to something that we're clearly getting excited about. You know, callers and Andrew and myself, clearly we're getting excited about some sort of change here to the voice of the show. And my fear is that they're going to pull the wool over our eyes again, and it's just going to be nothing. You know, it's going to be something that doesn't make sense, and there's going to be no change at all. That's sort of my fear. But I guess we'll see. Anything else for us, Mike?
Definitely could be the case. Just one final note. Did you see that they signed Kevin Sullivan?
I did not see that. Is this a backstage role?
Yeah, that's the producer. It's not the wrestler Kevin Sullivan. It's a different producer who used to work with the company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's all I got tonight.
I would have been very excited if they signed Kevin Sullivan to, you know, agent and creative. That would have been, you know, you get a creative team of Dutch Mantel, with Dutch Mantel and Kevin Sullivan both on there. I'm game for that. Well, hey, Michael, we appreciate the call tonight.
Yep, you have a great night.
Thanks, you too. Let's go to more phone calls here. You can give us a call at 515-605-9345. And Boris in Chicago. Boris is up next on the Impact Post Game Show edition of the PW Torch Livecast. Boris, how you doing?
Wow, cool. I'm doing good. You know, I made it my business to call in tonight because I was listening to Wade, and we want this. I love shows like this because, you know, we all care about our wrestling product. And when they announced that TNA was getting the so-called band back together, I was kind of happy because I, too, was listening to Sullivan's, you know, Kevin Sullivan's show. But to find out, I did go look, and it wasn't this Kevin Sullivan I was thinking about. I was like, oh, man. You know, because he gets the business, and I'm thinking, the formula to wrestling is easy, as you can see with what they're doing with NXT. I know Jeff Jarrett, I'm not a real fan of Jeff Jarrett, but, you know, he did do good for TNA, I guess, back in the day. He gets wrestling, you know what I'm saying? And I drank the Kool-Aid with Global Force, you know, because that's what got me on New Japan. And I've been there ever since. And I just wish we had one more product over here, you know, because it already exists. You know, I wish TNA get back to where they was, which is they had the best women wrestler on the planet at the time, you know what I'm saying? And I'm hoping that these guys see that wrestling, people, fans still want real wrestling, you know what I mean? And learn from the mistakes and rebuild the product. Because, you know, everybody can see what wrong was done within WCW. We hear on dozens of podcasts everything that went wrong. So do you think that Jeff, you know, Anthony getting the band back together, you think they can, everybody got the mindset of bringing back pro wrestling in TNA?
I hope so. You know, one of the things, I think I wrote about this in a column for the website back probably in December, right back when Anthem took over. And my point in the column was, I think it's okay. People are going to get upset, and people always get upset when you take step backwards, or whether there's this impression that you're taking steps backwards. The point I made in that column at the time was, look, if you're TNA, you've been thrown so far off course with the previous ownership, with guys in charge that I just don't think were experienced enough to be in the positions they were in. Some of them are still there. You were so far off course, I think that you almost needed to take steps backwards to get back on the right track again. You know, sometimes you're so far off course, you can't just take one step to the side and suddenly be back on course because you're so far away. You've got to come back a little bit before you can take that sidestep and go in a new direction that hopefully, you know, builds your company and gets you even more viewers and makes more of an impact, no pun intended, you know, on the business. So I'm fine, you know, with, I think you bring back Dutch Mantel. I mean, you're not going to get a better mind than that. You're not. And, you know, they're going back to, like you were saying, pro wrestling. I mean, they're not trying to find these guys, you know, television writers that used to, you know, have careers in Hollywood. They're going back to guys that know wrestling. I think that's a good sign. I don't know what you think, Andrew, but yeah. I think that's a good sign. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think the next few weeks are really important. You know, if they bring in somebody like a Jim Ross, like that's going to be huge for how people are going to perceive them. However, big contracts are coming up. If they lose Drew Galloway or if they lose the Hardys, then they're going to be taking like some big steps back and really have to rebuild a lot. So, yeah, I'm excited for what's going to happen for the people that are coming in. I think they're going to give them a vision. But it's, yeah, if some people leave, it could be a bit troubled for a bit.
No, that's a good point, too. And what I meant by it's okay to take some steps back was going back to your roots a little bit, sort of like what Boris was just talking about. I'm okay with going back to Mike Tenay. I'm okay with bringing back Judge Mantel, bringing back Jeff Jarrett. People might look at that and go, what are you doing? That's where you were in 2008, 2009. You know, how was that, you know, taking steps forward? Still, like you were saying earlier in the show, 1.5 million people were watching the show in 2009. You know, 300,000 people are watching it now. That's in part because of the network you're on, but I think that, you know, you get some wrestling minds back involved. That's going to do good for the wrestling show. You know, Boris, what do you think? I mean, I'm sort of a big fan of them going back to, even though it's old school, you know, going back to some of those guys that have a history of producing wrestling shows and have a history and a lot of experience with just, you know, the genre.
Yeah, that's what's missing, because like I said, over on the big product, all the shine, you know, it's not really telling any stories. I mean, we may get a glimpse of something here and there because the people that the existing people that came from it, which, you know, admit to it now. Look at the people. Even though the way the product TNA was run back then, it was being handled incorrectly. The top people in WWE right now come from where and who are they? Look at our top stars. AJ and Samoa Joe, and they came from what? TNA. Think about it. It's just TNA was just mishandled. Oh, yeah. Those same people I was the one that was enjoying AJ over there with the hoodie on, with the real music, with his real music, the music I miss. You get what I'm saying? So we're not, just because you got all this shadow here, we're not getting the best of AJ right now. You script the title off him for what? You get what I'm saying? So all these guys got to do is give us wrestling, and we back. And about the channel thing, the Pop TV or wherever they are, I can't find them. I'm a cord cutter, so I'm hoping that Netflix, because they just, you know, wrestling and Netflix has been the same conversation. So I'm hoping that this thing with wrestling getting on Netflix, I hope that, you know, it works out, because then maybe TNA might go live on Netflix or something, because they need to get on something where is easy access to the eyeballs, and cable is not it, and broadcast is not it. They got to get on either somebody else's network or build their own. What do you think about that?
Yeah,
about networking?
Yeah, no, I'm on board there too. I mean, I don't think they need to get away from cable, altogether. I think you're right that they need to do something with some type of over-the-top streaming-type service, because so many people are moving in that direction now. But at the same time, their biggest problem is the cable network they're on. You know, we've talked about it before. If people have it, they don't know that they have it. You know, I know that Pop TV is in more homes. Pop TV is in like 20 million more homes than Destination America, if I remember correctly. But the issue is that just nobody knows. I mean, I had no idea I had the channel until I read the press release that Impact was going there, and I checked I have Comcast Xfinity here in the Boston area. I checked to see if it was on my channel lineup, and it was. I had no clue that I even had the channel. And at that point, I was covering the show, and I remember reaching out to the former assistant editor of the Torch, James Caldwell, to be like, James, you know, I'm going to have to see if I get this channel. I don't even know if I continue covering the show for you because I wasn't sure if I had it. It's just they're on such an obscure network, and I know, yeah, hey, they're owned by Viacom, they're owned by CBS, but I'm sure plenty of people are in the same position as me, and instead of needing to find out whether or not you have the network and you could watch a show, I mean, clearly, look at the numbers. A lot of people just stop watching.
Yeah.
Andrew, what are your thoughts on them trying to do something over the top with a streaming type service, and also just you know, is Pop TV really a viable long term home for them?
I don't think Pop TV is. I thought I remember seeing that their contract runs up at the end of this year. So I really hope that Jarrett and the team grow those ratings. Otherwise, I think they're going to be in trouble for rights fees next time around. I think they have a streaming service in the UK. It would be nice to get something like that here. I mean, it's obviously not going to be as popular as the WWE Network, but I mean, just charge half the price and you'll probably get some curious people and you know, get some new shows. But yeah, like Pop TV is a bad home. I've watched probably, you know, many dozens of hours worth of Impact, and the only show I can tell you that is on there is Schitt's Creek, and that's just because Josh Matthews talks about it every 5 minutes. So otherwise, I know nothing.
You guys hear that they're supposed to have some type of setup with Noah, Pro Wrestling Noah, which is another company that I'm familiar with through New Japan that is rebuilding themselves. So if you get these two companies rebuilding themselves and they trying to, you know, mix it up, which is Noah, they are more of a wrestling company, not an entertainment company. What do you think about Noah and hopefully, you know, Ring of Honor, these guys? I hope these guys really, really form some type of, you know, good foundation with each other. And let the Hardys do what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? This crossover thing is really working. And I just hope, what do you think about, you know, Noah rebuilding, TNA rebuilding? We got Ring of Honor, and I'm really, you know, really getting something that doing something WWE is not doing, which is networking between each other.
Yeah, Andrew, what are your thoughts on the working relationship with Noah? I mean, we haven't seen it come into play yet because they haven't had a television taping since the agreement's been put together. But what are your thoughts, Andrew, on that potential of that partnership?
Overall, I think it's a good move. We talked before about just needing fresh faces in that company. We need some new excitement. I was hoping by this point they would show us some footage of Pro Wrestling Noah. You know, Josh Matthews has mentioned it, I think, every episode, but they haven't shown us what it is. Like, they should be going out of their way to get us excited about this new relationship or new wrestlers that we're going to be seeing in the future. Because I don't think a lot of fans are as familiar with it as, say, like New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I think they have a little bit of work to do on that end.
Yeah, I'd agree there. You know, I do think that there's the potential there to do at least bring in some new talent, some new names, some new faces to maybe freshen up your show a little bit, though. Anything else for us tonight, Boris?
No, that'd be all. I was going to ask you, so, you know, what the one thing about the super, you know, the name, the superstars, and what names could they possibly, that's available, that can bring eyeballs to the product? You know, they using AJ pretty much, and Samoa Joe, and the big company over there. What names could, you know, because they really don't have any, if you think about it, they really don't have any big new stars. They using old stars over that big company. What names can we get right now to really drag some eyeballs over to TNA? That's my last question. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call. Andrew, do you have any thoughts on any free agents that could be out there that you'd like to see TNA land here?
Just in terms of creating a little bit of a buzz, I would say off the top of my head, maybe Alberto Del Rio, and maybe Ryback. You know, he was good at selling merchandise to children, so maybe that's somebody they could bring in for a bit, just to, you know, make it look like they're have money in. It's a new era. I don't think he's a long-term solution to be like a top guy, but he might create a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah, those were the two names that you know, came to the top of my head right away as well. You know, and then I guess the other thing with that is you got to sort of have to see who could be coming up, you know, as far as free agents as well, because I know we've talked about the Hardys both have deals coming up here in the next few months or few weeks. Drew Galloway's deal's up, I think, you know, right around now. I think when he was on with Wade a couple of weeks ago, could be wrong, I think he said his deal was up in 2 or 3 weeks, and he was on the live cast, I think, 2 weeks ago. So that, yeah, I mean, his deal's coming up. I mean, I think before they focus on free agents, I think they need to take care of their in-house roster first and make sure they lock up the guys that they've been leaning on and will, you would think, continue to lean on. And then once you got that taken care of, you know, Del Rio is certainly a name I would think they could look at. And then, you know, you got to see, you know, after WrestleMania, are there any cuts from the WWE side of things? Maybe, I'm not saying you got to go out and sign every former WWE guy, but maybe there's an underutilized guy or even a guy, you know, that was an NXT guy that they cut that wasn't featured much on main television. And then, you know, you don't know who you might be able to bring in from a Ring of Honor either, you know, on deals that might be expiring at some point over the summer. So that'll be something to continue to watch, because it seems like, you know, Anthem has some more funding here. It certainly is better able to bring in new talent, certainly more able than what the Dixie Carter regime was able to do over the last couple of years once Panda pulled out, with the news, especially this week, that Mike Bennett and Maria have re-signed their deals. And I believe I read in the report about Mike Bennett re-signing that they only had, you know, a list of a couple of different indie companies they could continue working for. They didn't have full control of their outside bookings. That leads me to believe, if they're willing to give that up, that leads me to believe that the offer from Anthem was stable enough from a financial standpoint that they would be willing to do that. So I think that's a sign that, you know, there is some more funding there if the right names were to come along.
That's I had not seen that about Bennett and Maria. That's great news, though. They're both doing very good work. And I know when Corgan was out of power, Bennett said something to the effect of New Day, same bad business. So he wasn't a fan of the old management. So I'm glad to see that. I guess the new team must have won him over. So that's encouraging to hear.
Yeah, no, I want to credit that. I believe I saw a link on Twitter to that earlier today. I believe it was WrestleZone.com that was reporting Mike Bennett and Maria have re-signed. So I want to make sure I credit that properly. But, hey, Boris, we appreciate the call, and we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. All right, well, that we're 11:15. We've only got 15 minutes left here before the window closes for us on the PW Torch livecast Impact post-game show. Before we wrap this up, though, let's go ahead, Andrew, and go through the three things we like about this episode of Impact Wrestling. We'll do it quickly, because like I said, we only got a few minutes left. So what was the number three thing you liked about this episode of Impact?
Struggling to read my handwriting here, but it looks like I wrote down the reaction Andrew Everett got when he came out. I thought he's been a flat character. I think he's good talent, but the way he's been positioned, I didn't think he was going to break out once the group broke up. So I was encouraged to see how much the crowd cheered him on in clearing the ring.
Yeah, no, I like that too. You're right. And I thought it was a good, I thought the Shooting Star Press was really good. Like I said earlier, it was really crisp and looked really cool. The number three thing I liked about the show, and this was one of the few things that did make me laugh, this wedding segment. With all the chaos going on around her, and there's fights happening everywhere, you know, there's things getting knocked down and everything else, the visual of Laurel Van Ness sitting in the middle of the ring with a bottle of champagne, crying and taking swigs right out of the bottle, just had me laugh. I think it was probably the overacting that was going on, but yeah, I got a chuckle out of that for sure. Every time they showed it, I was like, That's good. I like that.
I like it too. Just as an aside, I maybe not liked, but I thought it was funny. I don't know if you caught Braxton Sutter's over the top facial expressions of just being attracted to Allie, and he held it for like a minute.
Yeah, I think I noted in the live report, Braxton Sutter's eye really popped out of his head as Ali was coming to the ring. Yeah, there was a lot of overacting going on in that segment, but I was a fan of most of it. not the elements of where they went from a storyline standpoint, but at least the execution and some of the overacting I thought was pretty funny. What was the second thing you had on your list of three things you liked about the show?
My number two is a bit random. I'm just going to go with the fact that they paid tribute to Nicole Bass and George Steele. And just, you know, I don't even think WWE had mentioned Nicole Bass on TV at all. So I thought it was just a nice little classy thing for them to do to mention. Everyone in the industry, Travel Classic, was on there. And, just nice of them to do that, I felt.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought that was good. Like you said, there were some of those names, Nicole Bass in particular, I believe, that WWE had not mentioned on their show either. So, I thought that was certainly a nice touch and a classy touch for them to go ahead and do that. The number two thing that I had on my list was the finish of the DJZ Trevor Lee match, just because it was simple. And you know, we'll see where they go from a storyline standpoint, but just the fact that Trevor Lee rolled up DJZ after some interference from his manager and grabbed a handful of tights to make sure he had leverage on the pin, I thought was a pretty neat old school ending to a match that we used to see a lot of. And you know, grabbing the tights used to be a big thing, and it hasn't been for you know, a long period of time in wrestling, at least here in the United States. But no, I thought that was just a pretty simple old school but yet really effective ending to get Trevor Lee over as a heel champion.
Yeah, I like that too. It gives Zima an out for losing that match, and then it builds up anticipation for somebody to finally take him down and grab that title away from him. So yeah, I like that too.
All right, and what was the number one thing you had on your list of things you liked about the show?
So we talked about this before, but I'm just going to go with them putting Tyrus and Eli Drake back together. I thought they're good for each other. They play off each other well. I think it's a good act. I wish they hadn't broken up at all. But I think, as we talked about before, we like the end. So I think just putting them back together is a good move. I don't want to see him feud at all. So, yeah, good move on their part.
That was the exact thing that I had. You know, we talked earlier, we weren't fans of, the roundabout way they took to get here. It seemed like you could have just avoided the entire breakup altogether and you still would have been in the same spot. But the fact that they at least appear to be keeping them together, I am a fan of, because I don't think they ever should have broken up to begin with. And I like that, you know, we could be seeing more of that in the next coming weeks here. Because I think it could do a lot for Eli Drake, especially. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. So when you got a guy that could talk that well, when he's got some muscle behind him like Tyrus, I think it's going to help him as a heel to continue to stay over in that role. All right, well, we're going to take one more quick timeout. We're going to talk about PW Torch VIP. I say it every week, but I think it's one of the best values in all of pro wrestling. So another quick timeout so you can hear about PW Torch VIP. And when we come back, Andrew and I will wrap up the show, including previewing a little bit of next week's episode, especially in the main event where Josh Barnett will challenge Lashley for the TNA World title. So we'll be back right after these words from PW Torch VIP. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast Impact.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Do you love wrestling? Come see the first ever live Ring Rust Radio from Orlando, Florida on Saturday, April 1st from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be doing Q&A sessions, meet and greets, raffle giveaways, and so much more. If you wish to attend the live show, sign up on patreon.com/ringrustradio or send $10 per ticket to ringrustradio at gmail.com on PayPal. With Ring Rust Radio in the notes section to guarantee it your entry into the live show. We've also opened up a raffle to win a ticket to join the boys of Ring Rust Radio at NXT TakeOver Orlando, right next to the stage. For every $10, you'll receive one raffle entry into our NXT sweepstakes. You can sign up on Patreon or send the money to ringrustradio@gmail.com on PayPal with NXT in the notes section. This raffle will run until March 1st, so we can give the winner enough time to make travel accommodations. So be sure to enter it as soon as possible. Email ringrustradio@yahoo.com with any further questions.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast. You can listen to tomorrow's edition of the PWTorch.com Livecast, or the PW Torch Livecast, where Bruce Mitchell will host the primetime edition on Friday. Back on Monday, Wade Keller will have the Raw postgame show. PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller will also have the SmackDown postgame show on Tuesday night, immediately following SmackDown. The Raw postgame show, of course, immediately following Monday Night Raw. The midweek flagship airs on Wednesday. Wade Keller with a rotating panel of guests this week. It was ProWrestling.net's Jason Powell. Interview Thursday, Wade will have on Thursday afternoon. Today, Wade's guest was the always controversial Disco Inferno. And then next Thursday night, Andrew and I will be back on the Impact postgame show. And Andrew, we will be talking about the main event. Well, I know at some point we'll be talking about the main event to next week's show, which will be Josh Barnett against Bobby Lashley for the TNA World title. Where would you like to see them go with this? Because we talked about, you know, the Josh Barnett match from the show here tonight, but where would you like to see them go, and where do you think we'll see them go with the Barnett-Lashley match next week?
You know, I'm usually not a big fan of cop-out finishes, but I would like to see them keep this going. I would like to see it just felt too rushed to get to this point. I would like to see them drag it out longer. Barnett, I think, is a good talent. He's a big enough name. We talked earlier tonight how they kind of dropped the ball. So I'd like to see them continue with that feud. I think they're headed. I don't know. Maybe just Lashley wins and sends him away, or I can't imagine Barnett winning the title, but we'll see.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I think that I would like to see them, even though I don't like, you know, non-finishes, I would like to see them go in that type of direction to keep the feud alive and going, you know, into the next coming weeks. And I think that's what we'll see. I don't know, you know, how they'll do it, but I think that's what we'll see. All right, well, this has been one of our longest shows. I mean, we literally have 5 minutes left on the window here before the show is going to kick us off. So anything else you want to add before we get out of here for the week?
Yeah, just had a quick question. Did they mention Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards at all tonight?
Ooh, that is an excellent point. No, they did not. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, but no follow-up at all. I mean, which is not rare for TNA. They've done that now, I think, for the last year where they've you know, haven't had guys on TV every week. But you would think after such a turn in such a personal type storyline, they would have at least gone to a recap video or made some mention of it. But yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't even think of that. They did not. I don't even think mentioned that once on this show.
Yeah, I'm fine with them keeping him off air, make it seem like it's this huge betrayal and Eddie's really hurt. But yeah, I would have liked some sort of video package or a promo from Davey to really put over what he did. I felt that was the best part of last week. So I guess a little disappointment there, but I guess the wedding kind of covered it in the sense that you weren't maybe, you know, were thinking about that more, I guess, tonight.
Yeah, you know, I like how they've been able to direct the focus on different things from a week-to-week basis, but I agree with you. I mean, that's been such a big storyline over the last 2 weeks, both the turn and then the beating last week. It's been so aggressive, and it was so emotional. You know, you would think that they would have followed up on that at some point in the show. So definitely weird to not see them do that at all.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that'll do it for this week because we've only got 4 minutes left. And if we're not done in 4 minutes, Blog Talk Radio is going to end the show for us. So we're going to get out of here for this week. But I want to thank you guys for listening to the PW Torch Livecast Impact Postgame Show. Andrew and I will be back here next Thursday right at 10 p.m. We'll be talking Impact and the main event between Josh Barnett and Bobby Lashley for the TNA World title. So thank you guys once again for listening to this week's edition of the PW Torch Livecast Impact Postgame Show. Like I said, you can check out the primetime edition of the livecast tomorrow, the Raw Postgame Show on Monday with Wade Keller, the Tuesday SmackDown Postgame Show, midweek flagship on Wednesday afternoons, Interview Thursday on Thursday afternoons, and then Andrew and I will be back with you next Thursday night. So thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Impact Postgame Show here in the PW Torch Livecast. Andrew and I will talk to you at 10 p.m. next Thursday, right when Impact goes off the air. Yeah.